Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Let's clap for our pastor. I'm titling this service as Back to the Pulpit, because we are blessed to have our pastor up today, and he's going to bring us a word. We missed him being up here. It's nothing like having the shepherd of the house to bring the word, and we're excited about that, okay? We still want to remember that it's still COVID, and we ask that, you know, you guys be safe. At the end of the service, we ask that everybody exit on the side ramp. Can you hear me? Okay. We ask that everybody be safe and exit on the side ramp when it's time to leave, okay? Now I am going to pray, so I'm asking that you guys stand up. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here safely. Lord, I am thankful for every individual in this sanctuary today. I am thankful for everybody that is home watching on YouTube and Facebook, Lord, because they are here by your protection, Lord Jesus, and your grace. Lord, we thank you that even in this crazy world, Lord Jesus, when we question why, you always answer that this world is not our home, Lord Jesus, and that with you, we can have eternal life in your presence, Lord Jesus. We ask that you don't let us get too comfortable on this earth, Lord Jesus. I ask that you guide us and lead us when we're talking to our family, when we're talking to our friends, our co-workers, Lord Jesus, give us the words to say to draw them to you, Lord Jesus. Let them know that this world is not their home, Lord Jesus, and that with salvation we can be in your presence, Lord Jesus. And on this Communion Sunday, we remember you, Lord. We thank you for giving us your son, Jesus, to die on the cross, Lord Jesus. We are not worthy, but you did it, Lord Jesus, so that we can have eternal life with you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you bless the pastor. I ask that you give him the strength to get up here and lead, Lord Jesus. I ask that you give us a word today, Lord Jesus. We are thank you. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So now we are going to call up our praise and worship team, okay? We ask them while we are up here, you guys participate with us, all right?
Hallelujah, Tyler. Hallelujah. How many know that our God is great? Our God is mighty. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bear up for them to get ready. Play it again, John. Come on, let that marinate in your spirit, God. How great is our God? How great. Come on, oversee how great he is. Oversee how mighty he is. No matter what that situation in your life looks like, God is greater. God is power. Hallelujah. Come on, try to say, how great is our God?
How great is our God?
Sing with me.
How great is our God?
Oversee. You're the name above all names. Come on. Sing.
You're the name above all names.
And you're worthy.
And you are worthy of our praise.
And our hearts will sing. Hallelujah.
And our hearts will sing. Our praise.
Our God. Is
our God.
Sing one more time. Sing your name. Sing. You're the name.
You're the name.
Hallelujah. We give Let's just praise them. Nice and soft.
Lord, you are good.
glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do y'all feel better? I don't know about y'all, but I feel better. Hallelujah. I feel like we ushered the Spirit into this place. Hallelujah. Amen. So now I want you guys to prepare your hearts and minds for communion. Okay, so if you're at home, make sure you got your crackers and your grape juice and everything that's needed. And just most importantly, let's focus on Jesus and what he did for us. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start off with the scripture. I ask that you guys please stand. And our scripture is coming from 1 Corinthians 11:18-34. Amen. For I received the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. Amen. Now we're going to have our sister Barbara come and do our confession of faith.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. Christ Jesus, you said, do this in remembrance of you. Lord, forgive us our sins right now that we would be worthy to do this in remembrance of you. Lord, bring into reflection in our hearts and in our minds the sacrifice that you made for us. What you endured for our very souls. We thank you for being a constant God, watching over us at all times, and the sacrifice that you made for us. Lord, as we reflect on how your body was broken, the stripes that were lashed on your back, the rejection you received, but you endured it for us. Lord, we think it's how you hung on the cross, hanging there, being pierced in your side, shedding your blood, that we could receive forgiveness for our sins. So, Lord, as we think about what you just endured for us, and you started with that Last Supper. So, Lord, consecrate the cracker that represents your broken body and the sacrifice you made for us. Lord, consecrate the juice that represents the blood that you had to and did shed for us, that we could receive forgiveness and through you get reconciled unto the Father. And consecrate us and forgive us, that we would receive you and your glorious and wonderful sacrifice for us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In your holy name, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
All right, now we're going to have our pastor come out and lead us in communion.
There we go. Great. Before we turn our attention to the Word of God, I'm going to ask our sister, Leah Reed, she would come and offer us a selection, and from there we'll proceed to the Word of God. We thank God for her being here. She is our friend and neighbor, amen, from Pastor Deloach's Church Bible Union. Come on, let's give her a hand as she comes.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. So glad to be here with you all this morning. And as Pastor Ford already stated, from Bible Union Fellowship Church, and I am asking and just certainly glad, enjoyed the worship this morning, and it's necessary and need. And we are asking our Taylor family to pray for our Bible Union family as we are experiencing loss at this time, lost one of our young men yesterday, sudden passing. And so just pray for us. But we know that God is good, that he is still great. And as we are preparing for this time of honoring what the Lord has done, we know that the blood will never lose its power. We know that it will never lose its power. It reaches to this place, the place of where we are in need of his comfort, where we are in need of him to heal our hurts and pains. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, God that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose his power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, the blood that gives me strength from death.
Selection and always appropriate when we come around the Lord's table. Thank you to our brother Reed, brother Joseph Reed III. Thank him for handling such precious cargo, making sure she is safe and came into our presence. We thank God for him as well. What a lovely couple. And at this time, we're going to prepare to partake of the Lord's body. And at this time, ask if you do not have the sacraments of bread and wine. I'm going to ask that you raise our hand. If you don't have it, our ushers are there. We'll make sure you receive it. If you do have it, I am going to ask for you to pull back that top layer, that plastic layer exposing the wafer contained therein, representing the bread, representing the body of Christ. I'm going to ask you to pull that out. Would you take it out? And if you have it, just lift it up to the Lord with me. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he took bread and that he blessed it and that he broke it and that he gave it to his disciples. And he told them, "This is my body, which is given for you. In just a little while, I'm going to offer my body as a sacrifice." Or as the New Testament writers so eloquently put it, as the propitiation for our sins. Right? That's the word of God. And even as he's told his disciples to take and eat, I say the same unto you. Eat ye all of it. On that same Passover night, Jesus took the cup. Once again, looking at the 12 gathered there, he said, this cup, the juice contained therein, represents the new covenant, the new agreement between you and God. No longer the old covenant, no longer the old law, no longer the old way, but with my coming sacrifice, I will inaugurate a new way. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He blessed the cup, gave to his disciples, and said, drink ye all of it. What a privilege to partake of the Lord's body. Amen. If you're glad to be a participant of the Lord's body, just put your hands together and give the Lord just a quiet worship. Just a quiet worship. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that we could come. Thank you that we could be here gathered in your presence. Thank you that we could be here gathered in the presence of other believers. Thank you that we could be here gathered around the Word of God. And so we thank God for the privilege that we have today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I am going to invite you to turn with me to the 13th chapter of Hebrews in the New Testament. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for our visitors that are here. Thank God for those that slipped upstairs to the overflow section. Thank God for another communion Sunday. Amen. Again, the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. I am going to ask our ushers, let's hand out a couple of Bibles. Slip your hands up if you are in need of a Bible. Thank God for you, our ushers. Thank you for your service and participation today. Those of you that have your own Bible, maybe you may have it electronically on your iPad or your iPhone. Again, we're just going to have one text, Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. If you haven't, I am going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's word. Amen. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Amen. It starts by saying, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners, as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 in closing, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. May the Lord bless and consecrate his word in our hearts. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your word be done not just in the earth, but in these earthen vessels. Let your word be done. Let your spirit pervade. Let it empower us to live according to the word of God, that we might bring glory and honor to our Creator and to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is our prayer. We humbly ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Hebrews, the 19th book of the New Testament. It is a letter written by an unknown Christian author. And it is to show how Jesus Christ has replaced Judaism as God's perfect revelation of himself to humankind. The author makes extensive use of Old Testament quotation and images to show that Jesus Christ is the supreme revelation of God and the all-sufficient mediator between God and man. This epistle begins by showing that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore is superior to angels and even to Moses. The second section of the letter attempts to show that Jesus Christ is the perfect high priest because of his unmatched compassion for people and his complete obedience to the will of God. And following a warning against renouncing the faith, the author then describes Jesus as a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The emphasis on Melchizedek, who is mentioned only twice in the Old Testament, may seem odd to us as modern day readers of the Bible. However, there is good reason for comparing Christ to Melchizedek. It is to show that Melchizedek, unlike Aaron, the first high priest, Melchizedek was unique. He had no predecessors nor successors. He was, therefore, a priest forever. As a consequence of being like Melchizedek, Jesus inaugurated a new and better covenant because his sacrifice of himself replaces the sacrifice of bulls and goats under the Old Testament system. The final section of this epistle appeals to the readers not to give up on the benefits of Christ's work as our high priest. In an attempt to offset spiritual erosion, the author recalls the heroes and sheroes of the faith and closes with various applications of faith to practical and everyday living. And I would like to take a look at a few of those applications of faith that are highlighted in these first six verses of Hebrews, as they help portray the true gospel to the world, and they also help to encourage others to believe in Christ, and ultimately, they bring glory to our God. Amen? Let's turn our attention to verse 1. It is a lengthy verse. I can tell you're not looking at it because that was a joke and you missed it. It has only, four words, look, now you're laughing. You're laughing now because you finally looked at it, right? Okay. As a preacher, you got to use any gimmick trick. Just get them to look at the word of God. Throw it at them if you have to. Verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. This is not a new directive or a new command, but rather a reminder of an old one. One which often we need reminding. I think if we were to remind ourselves to let brotherly love continue every morning in our morning devotion, it still wouldn't be enough, right? Because we can love the brethren until what? They do something. Until they say something. Or go the other way. Until they don't do something. Or don't do. But here, the Hebrew writer, along with many other Bible writers, encourages this gathering of Jews that have converted to Christianity to let brotherly love continue. Paul himself reminds us in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, to be kindly affectionate to one another, right? This is the word of God. And in honor, giving preference to one another, right? And this brotherly love is demonstrated by giving preference, right, to one another. That means thinking more of others than ourselves, right? And so in this section, he's saying, let brotherly love continue. Let's give honor and preference to others. And to get it so we're all on the same page, let me just say it plainly. Brotherly love means to love our fellow Christians, both in our own assembly and also within the entirety of the body of Christ. Amen? If my dad was here, he would say it this way. This is the way a lot of the members in the old church used to say it. They would say, we ought to love the saints of God, right? The people in our mothers and our grandmothers and grandfathers, we always talked about the saints of God, right? Those of us who know the Lord, those of us who have been converted, been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Our grandparents would always talk about loving the saints of God. And so if we're going to experience the power of God, which is the title of my subject today, we must love the saints of God. Okay? Since it's the beginning of the sermon, and it's at this point that I have the majority of your attentions before you drift off into taking a quick coma or catching a quick nap or paying your phone bill or your Amazon Prime bill. Before you do that, since I got your attention, let me just say this, right, and get it out the way, and then we can move on. Here it is. As believers, you cannot love God and hate some of the children of God. Okay? Do I still have your attention before you start playing on your phone? You cannot. Let me be clear. Look at someone say, the pastor's back. Pastor's back. And here I'm going to prove it. Because what? You cannot love God and hate some of his children. All right? It's not possible. Because if you do, that very act serves as a witness against you that the love of God is not in you. Okay? I'm going to give you the witness. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, right? Are you reading your Bible? Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. The Bible says what? He or she is a liar. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, don't get mad at the pastor. I just came back today. Lord, no, don't get mad at me the first day I get back. But the word of God says, whoever says they love God, but yet hates his brother, the word of God says he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Right? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay? All of my life, I've been a PK. I've been a preacher's kid. Dad's a preacher. Mom's a preacher. Aunts, uncles, preachers. Mom's a pastor. Dad a pastor. All my life, been a PK kid. Now, there are many hardships that go along with being a PK, but there are also many benefits that go along with being a PK, a preacher's kid, a pastor's kid. And one of those is oftentimes people will extend kindness to you, not because of you, but because of your parents. Because your dad's the pastor. Because your mother's the pastor. When they come up to shake your parents' hands, your grandmother, whoever it might be that is connected to, oftentimes they may bless you. Not because you have done anything, being a pastor's kid yourself. Hello, PK. Good morning to you. Not because you have done anything special, nor because they love you. But because they love your father, because they love your mother, they what? Extend kindness to you. You got it? I don't know. That's the best example I could come up with for an illustration. Do you get it though? Right? It's not because of you, not because you have done anything, but because of who you are to the pastor, to that father, that mother, they extend a kindness to you. Remember, a lot of times growing up as a young man, they come to greet the pastor, whatever. Oh, this is your son, whatever, and they slip you a quarter. Oh, no, that's your dad, your mom. Oh, they slip you a dollar. I went all the way up to 16 or 17 years old. It never got more than a dollar. That's all the love I got. Now, I didn't deserve it. Half the time, Lord knows I didn't deserve it, and maybe that's why I stayed at a dollar. If I acted better, maybe they would have done better. But if you got it, say I got it. If we are going to enjoy the benefits of the new and better covenant, it starts with us esteeming our fellow Christians by letting brotherly love continue and by loving the saints of God. All right? Here we go. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." And so if we're going to experience the power of God, not only must we love the brethren, not only must we love the saints of God, we must also love the strangers of God. Are you with me? This is what verses 2 is saying. Not only must we love the saints of God, we must also learn to love those who are strangers to God. The second grace needing development in our churches is the extension of love to those who are strangers in our midst. Are you with me? Ephesians 2 and 12, just to give you a witness on it, says that at that time you were without Christ, talking to the church at Ephesus, and by extension, believers everywhere who read the word of God, says that at that time you were without Christ, meaning what? B.C., before Christ in all of our lives, right? Raise your hand if you were saved out of your mother's womb, that you came out filled with the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand if you were saved. Okay. So we all have a what? A B.C., a before Christ. And Paul is saying in that period of our lives, B.C., look what he says. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That means the promises that God had made to his chosen people, Israel, and were what? Strangers from the covenant of promise. That all of those promises God made to Israel was for Israel and not us. Why? Because we were Gentiles and what? Strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. And we had what? We had no hope. And without God, he said, not only did we have no hope, we had no God. All right? And that's all of us. Why? Because he's talking about our B.C. period before Christ. Right? So let's make a commitment today to greet and to extend love to everyone who enters our church. Amen? Can we all do that? Now, I want you to understand what I'm asking. I'm not asking you to do that today. I'm asking you to do that every single Sunday, every single time that we gather as a body of believers, let our first observation be not for the saints of God, but for the strangers to God. And let's go out of our way to make them feel welcome, to make them feel that they're appreciated, right? Because our hope and God's will is that what?
that they one day be converted from strangers to God to what? The saints of God. I thought that was going to be a better point. I thought I'd get more out of that time. But that's what we got to do. Why? Because one day somebody did that for what? For us. Because what? There was a period in our lives where we were strangers to God, right? But it took somebody to come to extend the agape love of God. It took someone to take time to show us in the Word of God what it meant to repent and to be saved from sin and experience the grace of God so that we could become the children of God. Not only that, the writer tells us the other reason you want to pay attention to strangers. Because unbeknownst to you and to others, oftentimes we can entertain angels unaware. And this angels, I want to help you, is not only it's in the traditional sense, the way we may be thinking of it, spirit bodies that perform the will of God and do his service, but also that word angels also means messengers of God. Angel of God or messengers of God. And oftentimes, God will not only send his angelic beings to carry his message as he did to Mary when he made known to her that she was to give birth to the Son of God. He sent his angel Gabriel to deliver that message. But oftentimes, God can use other people to be his messengers, right? God can use other people to be his messengers. And in using other people, oftentimes, some of those peoples can be strangers to us. People we don't know. People we don't recognize. People we don't have a relationship with already. And imagine if we ignored the strangers. Imagine if we ignored those who didn't look like us, talk like us, sound like us, dress like us, or come from the parts of the city that we do. Could we unwittingly, as the Word of God so eloquently says, be denying entertainment, not entertainment in terms of the way we think, but that the word entertainment means hospitality, extend hospitality. Could we be denying hospitality, kindness, brotherly affection to the very person God has sent to bless us? All because what? They don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They don't dress like us. So therefore, they can't be a part of us. And the Bible records for us Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18, how they were hosts to the very presence is what the theologians call a theophany of God, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, before he comes in human form in the New Testament, he along with these two other angels visit Abraham. And if Abraham would have ignored them or refused to extend hospitality to them, they would have missed the greatest blessing in their lives, right? Because these men came as strangers to Abraham's house, right? The Bible tells us that continuing with that story in verse 19, these same angels come and begin to engage in conversation with Lot. And imagine if Lot would not have extended kindness or brotherly love to these angels. Not only would he have died, but so would his whole household would have died. But even though they were strangers, Lot invited them into his home. Lot agreed to follow their advice. Also in the book of Judges chapter 6, Gideon also entertains angels unaware what to the victory of Israel. And Manoah in Judges 13 also gives heed to the voice of a stranger, one that's not like them, to the betterment of Israel, right? So let us all do better at loving those who are strangers to God. Verse 3, it says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Not only must we love the saints of God, not only must we also love the strangers of God, we must also love those who suffer under the eyes of God. Amen. Believers should be able to identify with and have sympathy for the suffering of others because we too are familiar with pain, suffering, and persecution. Can I get a witness? Matthew 5:45 tells us, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just as well as the unjust. Don't you know good and bad happens to everybody? Good luck and misfortune is every man's portion, right? Right. Nobody escapes trouble in this world, okay? No one is exempt from it. Nobody gets a pass from it. John 16:33 says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because Christ said, I have overcome the world, right? No one is exempt from trouble, but in spite of or because of our own trouble, we ought to reach out and care for those who are also suffering and experiencing hardship. Amen. Now, on the one hand, we may look back at the previous verse and say we are strangers, right? Because we don't look like, sound like, dress alike, all those other reasons I listed. But one thing that makes us kin is what? Trouble, right? Trouble is in everybody's bloodline. Trouble is at everybody's family reunion. Trouble sits at every kitchen table. Trouble is in every parent's bedroom. Nobody's exempt from it. Nobody gets a pass. No one gets to skate through this world trouble free, right? Right? And that's why, as a result of that, since we know what it's like to face trouble, experience hardship, and to deal with persecution, there should be a level of sympathy and empathy in us to those that we also see suffering. Can I get a witness? Matthew 25:36 says this, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came and visited me. I was in prison and you came and saw me. And then the righteous say to Christ, Lord, when did we see you hungry? And when did we feed you? Or when were you thirsty and we gave you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in naked and clothe you? Verse 39, or when did we see you were sick or you were in prison and come to you? Here's the clincher, verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these of my brethren, he said, you have done it also unto me. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is why we ought to go out of our way for those that are suffering, because in so doing, we extend that kindness not only to them, but by extension to the Lord himself. Whether they be a saint of God or a stranger to God, God views your act of kindness to those that are suffering, those that are suffering hardship, as your act of kindness to himself. Right? So not only are we ought to entertain strangers, we are to also aid those who are suffering. Verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, right? But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. If we're going to experience the power of God, we have to love the saints of God. We have to love the strangers of God. And we have to love those who are suffering under the eyes of God. And I admit, when I got to verse 4, it didn't look like it fit. I said, the saints I got, strangers I understand. Those that are suffering, that's plain to me. I get it, Barb. But how does he switch from that
to those that are married. Here it is. If we're going to experience the power of God, we must learn to love our spouses whom we married according to the word of God. Okay. I thought at least the married folks say amen. Good night. If we are going to experience the power of God, we must learn to love our spouses whom we married according to the word of God. God highly honors marriage, which he instituted at creation. Sexual activity in a marriage is pure, but any sexual activity outside of marriage brings divine judgment. If we could just take that and tape it to our forehead the rest of our lives, maybe we do better, right? Marriage is honorable. And any sexual activity that is in agreement between husband and wife, let me say it again, marriage is honorable, and any sexual activity between a husband and a wife, right? Because you got married according to what? The word of God, and the word of God instituted marriage between a husband, a man, and a wife, and a woman. Either you're getting it or you're not. I don't, unless you want me to come and just beat it into you. All right? Right? Because you got, that's why I said, you got to learn to love your spouse who you married according to the word of God. You didn't marry them according to the way you felt. Shanita, you a PK, I'm giving you a dollar. You're the only one saying, ain't nobody saying nothing. All of a sudden, your voice, you done lost your voice. Wanda gets 50 cents. She's not a PK kid, but she's going to get in on it because she's saying amen. Right? You don't marry because you love them. Because if you love them today, there is a high probability that you what? Won't love them tomorrow. But thanks be unto God, I didn't marry them because of the way I felt. I married them according to the word of God. And the Bible says, for husbands, love your wives. Right? Right? Wives, love and honor. I didn't ask you to do it when you felt like doing it. Doing it when it was what your other friends were doing. But the word of God instructed us to love our spouses. Because in so doing, we reflect the love of Jesus Christ to the church. Every time you refuse love and affection to your spouse, you tell the world that Jesus hates his church. Because our earthly marriages are a reflection of the heavenly marriage that takes place in the presence of God, where Jesus Christ is wed to the church. And through this union, we become one in God. Right? And so here it is. You got it from Sunday school. We learn in Sunday school what the Lord's Prayer. Right? And the Lord's Prayer says it on this manner. Let your will be done. I wish I had a real church. In earth. Watch this. As it is in heaven. All the earth was ever meant to be in God's economy was a reflection of what was going on in heaven. That's all it was meant to be. Just instead of being done by spiritual beings, it was done on earth by what? Natural or human beings, but it was still what? The will of God. Whether what? Whether in earth or whether in heaven. And so when we fail to experience the power of God, either because we don't love the saints, or either because we don't love the strangers, or if we refuse to extend help and support to those that are suffering, and moreover, if we refuse to love our spouses. A good friend of mine contacted me and said, hey, I'm getting married, and I want you to consider marrying us. We had a talk, a great time, all that good stuff. I said, yeah, we'll work it out. And I said, I do got to tell you something. I said, I don't marry anybody who doesn't go through premarital counseling. I said, it's just a personal policy with me. I mean, you're still my man and all that good stuff. But now that we're getting over into God's territory, I got to make sure I do it God's way. And I won't stand as a representative of God and say, I approve of your marriage and your standing going into marriage without having the benefit of going through premarital counseling with you and your companion. Just so you know, for those that are not within the tri-state area, what I tell them, I don't have to do the counseling. If you live somewhere else, I say you can have your local pastor do it, someone else do it. But I said before I can sit to do the ceremony, I will have to have a conversation with them about the both of you and their assessment of your readiness, according to the word of God, for marriage. And if they say, you know what, Pastor, I spent time with them, we went through this, we covered that, this, that, and the other, and he said, yeah, I think they're ready for marriage, then I say, okay, fine, I'll marry them, whatever the date is. I'll come, I'll perform the ceremony, or I do the counseling myself. And there have been times in the history of doing premarital counseling in my ministry where I have had to tell couples, you're not ready. I didn't say you can't get married. I just said, I wouldn't recommend you getting married now. And if you want to get married now, I'm not your pastor. You can get married now. You just got to get someone else. But knowing what I know and what you have shared with me in privacy and what I have shared with you out of the word of God, not my opinion, not what I think of you, but what the word of God says about marriage and those who enter into it, you're not ready. And anytime I've delivered that message, and it's not often, it's only been a handful of times, anytime I've delivered that message, you know what they said before I could finish? I know, Pastor. They didn't need me to tell them. They saw themselves in the word of God. They saw it for themselves and realized they weren't ready. You follow what I'm saying? But all too often, people step over that. They enter into a holy covenant. Anytime I teach, I don't know how many times I've told you this. Anytime you hear the word holy, it means what? Of or pertaining to God. And they enter, as the preacher would say, unadvisedly. Are you with me? But here, let me get back to the point. Marriage, honorable, the bed, undefiled. As long as we do it the way God has defined for us to do it. Are you with me? So loving your spouse allows both the husband and wife to experience the power of God through their own intimacy. There's no love like marital love. And when you begin to understand the depths of that and the height of that, you begin to get a taste or an inkling of how much Jesus Christ loves the church. Right? Are you good? Everybody still comfortable? Everybody all right? Get this. Here it is. Because let me do this. Because all the singles always yell at me when I talk to the couples. Pastor, that's great for married couples. But what about those who are single and trying to date via social media? Yeah. I thought I was going to leave it alone. Here it is. 1 Corinthians, write it in your note. 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 34. This is Paul says, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, that he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world,
and how he may please his wife. Verse 34 says, there is a difference between a wife and a virgin, meaning a single person. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the world that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world and how she may please her husband. Are you with me? So for the unmarried, our companion is God, is Christ himself. Are you following me? Isaiah 54 and 5 says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is in fact the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Am I right about it? Look at somebody and tell them, I got a husband. Right? Go the other way and say, I got a spouse. I'm just trying, I'm just doing the social media thing in the interim, but in reality, I already got a companion. I already got someone that I go to bed with every night. I already have someone I wake up to every morning. I already have someone I confide my deepest feelings to. I already have someone who is the lover of my soul. Why? The word of God says, God himself is your husband. Here it is. I'm out of time. I'm running up on this baptism class. Here it is. Verse 5. Let me get to it. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're going to experience the power of God. We have to learn to love and to be satisfied with the presence of God alone. Now, that's the proper response. If you would have said amen to that, I know something would have been funny, right? We're going to experience the power of God. Get it? We have to learn to love and be satisfied with the presence of God alone. I just came back from a pastor's conference down in Dallas. And so many pastors and church leaders around the country and around the world are trying to come up with programs, gimmicks, giveaways to entice the people to come back to church. I'm telling you what I know. It was just there, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We're trying to entice, watch this, the saints of God to come back to the house of God, right? To come back into the presence of God, right? To be in, with, and among what? The people of God. And guess what? It ain't working. Why? Because people are not satisfied with the presence of God alone. We now live in a generation that is driven by promotional advertising. That's great, but what else do I get? Look at someone say, the pastor's back. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I'll come if you. There was a time where the saints of God would walk to the church. And I don't mean from around the corner.
I mean blocks and miles away. Why? Because they love the presence of God. And whatever it took, whatever they had to do, they thought it not robbery to enter into the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad. Look at somebody and say, we got to get it back. We got to get back to being in his presence. Get back to being in his word. Get back to being satisfied with God alone. Get back to his word and his word alone. Get back to prayer and prayer alone. Get back to fasting and fasting alone. Get back to his presence and his presence alone. Somebody shout yes. Covetousness. Covetousness means marked by an inordinate desire for wealth or possessions, or another man's possession. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. Covetousness means an inordinate desire for wealth or possessions, or simply another man's possession. That's what that word covetousness means. The word contentment, a state of happiness and satisfaction. The word of God says, be content with what you have. Oftentimes, we forsake the presence of God because we believe we can find something that's better than God. And that's what we're always looking for. Something. Someone better than God. And since I'm your pastor, let me just give you the truth of the matter. There is none greater than our God. Did you hear me? There's none greater. So you can stop your search for him or her now. That's why we don't love the presence of God. Because we're looking for someone or something better. And there's none better than our God. Now dig this. Let me do this love of money thing just because it's here. Don't love money or the things that money can buy. Because lusting after material riches is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what the word of God said? Look at someone and tell them you can't take it with you. Doesn't matter how big the house. Doesn't matter how fancy the car. It doesn't matter how customized the suit. The best I can do with this suit is wear it in the casket. But I can't take it with me. So why spend all of our earthly time trying to acquire earthly riches which cannot go with us beyond the grave where we will spend eternity. You're working, sweating, giving all your strength to something that at best will last 10 to 12 years. At best. If you're like me and cheap, you find a way to stretch it to 15 or 16. You get the most out of it. You wear it even when the seam is coming apart. You wear it even when it's busting, right? You get it right. But the reality is, it doesn't matter how long you keep it, you're not taking it with you. Do you hear? This is out of the Word of God. I'm not giving you fatherly advice. I'm giving you the Word of God. 2 Timothy 6, here it is. And look at this. This is verse 8. Having food and clothing, with these be content. How many got food to eat? How many have clothes to wear? How many have a place to lay down and go to sleep tonight? Look at them and say, you got more than enough. Look at them and say, man, you down the road. Come on. All right. Shanita gets $2. Look at someone and tell them, you down the road. You got food to eat. You got clothes to wear. And you've got a bed to lie in tonight with a roof over your head. Man, you are down the road. And to top it off, you have a God that loves you. One of my favorite rappers, and now one of my son's favorite rappers, young gentleman by the name of Special Ed. He came back during our era. One of his hit songs was simply called, I Got It Made. That was his song. And that should be the anthem for every believer. What? That I got it made. Why do I have it made? Why? Because I have food to eat. I got it made because I got clothes to wear. I got it made because I got a bed to sleep in. I got it made because I got a roof over my head. I got it made because I got a God that loves me. I got it made because I have a Savior who was willing to die for me. I got it made because I got a God that has filled me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And I got it made. And when this life is over, I will fly away. This world is not my home because I got it made. I got a home that's not made by hands. I got a home up in heaven. I got a mansion up in heaven. Somebody shout yes. And we have it made because God said. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Word of God tells us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Raise your hand if you believe that. That he who lives inside you is greater than anybody in this world or in the world to come. Raise your hand if you believe that. This is why you got it made, Nate. Because that person has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake. I'll never leave you, nor will I ever turn my back and ignore you. Do you guys, this is in your Bible. I'm not making this. Did you, everybody look at the Bible? I don't want to see nobody's eyes. Look at your Bible, your iPhone. If you don't have it, just stare at the four. But whatever you do, don't look up here. Convince me you're looking at the Bible. Verse 5 says, for he himself, talking about this great high priest, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's that one we just all raised our hand and agreed that he's greater. Now get this, and I'm finished, because we got to get to this baptism class. Verse 6, and I'm done. Get this. Because he has said, right? Verse 5 said what? He has said. Now look how verse 6 starts. Because of what he has said, now we may say. Look at somebody and say, I got something to say. And I'm saying it not out of my own power, nor am I saying it out of my own strength. Watch this. If you get this, you get the cookie for the day. Get this. I'm only saying what I've heard already said. I wish I had a real church. Verse 5 said, he has said, the great high priest has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what Jesus Christ, our high priest, has said. Now, because he has said that, now I can say this. I wish I had a real church. Because he will never leave me nor forsake me. Now I can stand tall when the enemy comes in like a flood in my life, when he brings trouble, tribulation, persecution, problems, and suffering. I can stand tall because of what God has said to me. And now I can tell my problem. Get ready to talk to your problem. Whenever you see your problem early in the morning, this, here it is. This is what you say now. You face your problem head on. You look trouble dead in the eye. This is what you say. The Lord is my helper. I wish I had a helper. Whenever hardship knocks on your door, whenever persecution rings your doorbell, and you go to answer it, and it's not the Amazon delivery man, nor is it the FedEx man, but they greet you by saying, hello, my name is trouble, and my cousin is tribulation. Don't get upset. Don't get worried. Just say what you've already heard said. Just say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. The Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd.
now I'm experiencing the power of God. Yes. Yes. I won't be afraid. I will not fear. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. They will soon. Yes. Yes. Yes again. Yes again. Yes. You can experience the power of God in your church, in your relationship with strangers, in your aid to those that are suffering, and yes, even in your marriage. You can experience the power of God. Get this. Not because the pastor has said so, but because he himself, our great high priest, has said to all those that have been begotten by the blood of Jesus, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake or turn my back on you. Therefore, you and I can say, I will never fear what can man do to me, that our God is not greater than and shall deliver me and shall deliver me from all manner of persecution and affliction. If you're here this Sunday and you desire to experience the power of God, won't you come down to the altar? Stand here before the Lord's communion table. Let your coming be a sign to the Holy Spirit. I'm not coming for bread or wine. I'm coming because I'm hungry to experience one more time the living power of God. I want it in my church. I want it in my business. I want it in my home life. I want it in my married life. I want it in my sex life. I want it in my financial life. I'm coming one more time to the altar of God because I want and I need to experience the power of God. Yes. Yes. Here I am, Lord. I want the power. I need the power. Yes. Yes. Yes again. I'm dead. I need the resurrecting power of the Lord Most High. If you're here this Sunday, I invite you to come to the altar right here before this table. And only come if you want to experience the power of God. A lot of people come to the altar because they want the provisions of God. They want what God has for them. And I want you to come if you just, all I want is the power. That's all I want. All I want is what he promised me out of his word. All I want is to be able to finally receive by faith the word of God and the promises made from our great high priest. Come to the altar. Come now. Come if you want it. Come if you need it. Our great high priest is calling you back to the altar. Come without money. Come without price. Come buy and eat the Lord your God. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Lord, we have come into your presence because we want the power of God. Lord, we have come to your altar because we desire the power of God. So we take you at your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you all of the praise. Give the Lord the best praise. Give him your best praise. Give God your best praise now. Yeah. Today, you shall begin experiencing the power of God. Yeah. Not because of what you have said, but because of what God has promised in his word. Because of what our great high priest has declared under God. Now you may say, I shall not fear. Woo! Woo! Yes, I feel the power. I feel the power coming back in the dead body. I feel the power coming back into my dead womb. I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore unto Christ Jesus. Somebody give him a praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The word was so good, I forgot I was the liturgist. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can somebody say the pastor's back? Say the pastor is back. Hallelujah. I thank God for the word this morning. I was blessed by it. How about you guys? We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank our pastor for letting God use him. And now we're going to transition off the service. And now we're going to move to our time of giving and announcements, and then followed by our benediction. So I'm going to call up our sister Kennedy McCoy to come and do the offering for us. You need my mic? Okay.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to the TaylorTabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. And let's tell Kennedy, so next time when she has Daddy to come up, I don't need to come up, do I?
Amen.
Sister Shanita, the pastor's back. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, you want to grab a pen and paper? We are back in busy mode here at the Tabernacle for the next few weeks. Once again, want to remind everyone, Pastor will be teaching for the month of July and part of August from the 40-Day Sugar Fast by Wendy Speak. And we ask you to purchase the book. You can follow along with the fast if you would like, but it is not mandatory. But it is a powerful, powerful word of God, and it is a great reading. I encourage each and every person to purchase the book and to follow along. Hey, it's that time of year again. In the past 2 years, we haven't updated the membership directory, so we are asking each and every person, if you've changed a phone number, address, move, email address, whatever it is, if you think you did it and you're not sure it went through, still do it again for us, please. We want to update that directory so we have contact with everyone. So please, either do it through our website. You can see me personally here at the church today. You can leave a message online or through email. Amen? Amen? All right, all right, all right, all right. Don't forget who I... Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Amen. Hey, this Sunday, immediately following morning service, we're a little over time. The Celeste Williams Scholarship applications are due today. Please see our Deacon Todd, our Sister Kim, or our brother Norman, Minister Norman Lyons, to submit those applications. Amen. Hey, water baptism class is today, immediately following morning service, and we will be baptizing on next Sunday at Christ of Calvary Baptist Church at 11:30 p.m. We're going to have our, thank you, amen, that's right, amen, we're excited about that. We're going to have our regular service from 10 to 11 next week, and we're going to walk down to Christ of Calvary with our candidates and have baptism. Just wanted to say, if you would like to join even today, please see our Deacon Todd immediately following morning service. You must take that 30-minute baptism class in order to be baptized next week because you must receive further instruction. Amen? Amen. On July 31st is Back to School Sunday. Our Young Life Experience Ministry invites you to come and celebrate with the 2022 graduates and their accomplishments. They are many this year. Amen. And we are so proud of our graduates this year. The Celeste Williams Scholarship will be awarded, and we invite all parents and children out for that special Sunday. They always have a great time in the Lord. Amen. On July 27th, the Public Health Campus on Cedar will be having a job fair. That's Wednesday, July 27th. They'll be hosting a partnership, the Public Health Management Corporation, Penn Medicine, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and Target Building Constructions will be hosting a job fair. They're going to have many positions open for immediate hire, health professionals, nurses, nursing assistants, et cetera, behavioral health professionals. We know we are in mighty need of the behavioral health professionals, IT techs, security professionals, case managers, construction project managers. These are good jobs. These aren't the low-paying jobs that people don't want to hear about. These are the good professional jobs. So please come out. Please tell your friends about it. If you're looking for a job in earnest, this is a great job fair. Amen. You must go online to register, and the location of that job fair is going to be 501 South 54th Street between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. Amen. If you're interested, I do have a flyer that I can pass on to you at the end of service. Hey, but last but not least, August 7th, YLE presents a day of joy. Thank you. Amen. Amen. A day of joy. Hey, we love to sing and shout here at the Tabernacle. That's going to take place after morning service at 2 p.m. I don't know exactly what they have planned, but I think it's an all music program. Amen. So we're going to come and have a good time, shout and praise the Lord and lift his holy name up. Amen. Please govern yourselves accordingly. The next voice we hear will be that of our pastor. Amen.
You good? I'm good. Shall we all stand? Thank you once again for your attention. Your focus not on me, but on the Word of God. Appreciate it each and every time. You heard in the announcement that next Sunday is our water baptism service. And I am, as a pastor, I'm just ecstatic to report. And I had to go back and try to look it up to see. But I believe, at least as far back as I looked, this is the largest baptism class that we have had in our recent history. 10 souls are coming to declare that I've been saved from my sins, been washed in the blood, and I've been set free by Jesus Christ. So I'm asking everybody, next Sunday is a must attend Sunday. Everybody, won't you come out, join us next Sunday for our water baptism service? You've had the instructions. I want to share this with you. This will be for our baptism candidates. So those that are being baptized next Sunday. Can you see that? Can you get it on the camera? I told you I was at the pastor's conference. I was in the Christian bookstore looking for some books. And when I saw these shirts and I saw that big, bold, baptized. I said, I ain't got much money, but I'm going to spend some money. So this shirt will be for our baptism candidates on next Sunday. So don't come up to me after service today saying, Pastor, where's my shirt? I'm holding it till next Sunday. Because if you don't get wet, you don't get a shirt. I'm just making it plain. I just, look at somebody, just say the pastor's back. If you don't get wet, you don't get a shirt, okay? And I'll just have more to wear myself. Hey, one thing we're asking of every baptism candidate,
We are asking that you take a COVID home test. We always want to be safe. We always want to exercise due caution. I'm asking everybody, all 10 candidates, I'm asking all those who are going to be serving next Sunday, come get in my office. I'll have Norm bring them out, put them right here. I want you to get a home COVID test. And by Wednesday, just take the test. Just hopefully it'll come back negative. But if not, we want to be careful, not only because of our own fellowship, but because we are going to another church. Okay? And we want to honor their protocol and their safety guidelines. So this is available for all of our candidates, all that are serving. And by the number that we have on my desk, we have plenty extra. So if anyone of you just want a home COVID test for your own personal safety and knowledge, we have plenty. I'll ask Norm to bring them out. Again, I'm just asking those that are candidates for water baptism and those that are serving on next Sunday, please take a COVID test. Take it by Wednesday so we know where you stand. It's a little bit before 12. I'm going to ask Deacon Todd to start at 12 o'clock. I know we're way over. He wanted to start at 11:30. We went over, and you can blame it on the pastor. And Shanita said we did. Don't worry, you don't have to tell us. We know the protocol. Blame it on the pastor. We're going to begin our baptism class at 12 o'clock. Those that are here, those that are gathering online, you have the link. And with that being said, all minds are clear. Lord, I thank you for another Lord's Sunday morning that we were able to gather here in your house, in and among your people, and around your word. Thank you for the saints of God. Thank you for the strangers of God. Thank you for those that are suffering and enduring hardship. Thank you for our spouses and our families. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that we don't love money nor the things that money can buy. But Lord, we're content with what you have given us. And now because of what you have said, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, now we may boldly say, I will not fear, shall not fear, because what can man do to us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face and countenance to shine down upon you. And may the Lord God himself give you peace. This is my request and my prayer unto the Lord. And all of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. Make sure you greet everybody in the house. Remember our visitors. Remember our guests. Extend to them brotherly love and godly affection. The Lord bless you and keep you.